Are you also tired of one-size-fits-all weight loss plans? Meet Noom, the personalized solution that meets you where you are. Noom is able to understand your unique needs, from dietary restrictions to medical concerns. Unlike restrictive programs, Noom embraces your lifestyle and choices. Discover a sustainable approach to weight loss, tailored just for you. Honestly, Noom felt like it was made for me. It's not just about what I eat. It's about understanding why. With Noom, I've learned so much about myself and built healthier habits that stick. It's all about progress, not perfection. Say goodbye to restrictive diets and experience the Noom app for yourself with personalized lessons and expert coaching. Noom's psychology and biology-based approach has helped over 5.2 million people achieve their goals. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
You are listening to This is Cruise Radio Rewind.
Real reviews from real cruisers.
A couple of weeks ago, I had an email from Sharon saying she was sailing the Queen Mary 2 and asking if I would like to talk about it when she returns. And I said, of course. So we connected on Tuesday night. We weren't going to actually record the interview because sometimes I just want to talk about a sailing that's interesting to me. Or if we already have an interview recorded, I like to ask questions for future articles on the website. So to set this interview up a little bit, I was talking with Sharon, and then a few minutes into our conversation, she was firing on all cylinders, comparing Celebrity and Cunard and the differences. So she got to telling me about how she met her husband, and he plays into it because he's never cruised before. So I finally just asked, hey, Sharon, do you mind if I hit the record button?
I guess if you want to. I don't, Doug, I have to be honest with you. If I sound stupid, just hit the off button. Because I enjoy listening to your podcast. I find very interesting the people you talk to, the places you've been. So just speaking to you like this is fine. If you want to hit the play button somewhere along the line, that's great too.
So tell me how you met your husband then.
Okay. I met my husband when we were skiing. I was skiing, actually. And I blew out one of my ligaments in my knee, and I was at physical therapy, and I saw this very big, handsome man, and he blew out the ligaments in his knee also, and I found out after a while he was putting his name under my name in the book to see the physical therapist. So that's how we met. We fell in love, and he loves to travel. However, he never loved cruising. And I've been cruising for probably 10 years. I go on cruises by myself. I've been to Cuba by myself. I went to Celebrity is my line. Mm-hmm. So I tend to take a lot of cruises on Celebrity. And I've gone by myself. I've gone with a couple of friends, but never with my husband. So I'm trying to finally get him into the idea, let's do something. The kids are older. Let's go away together. And he says, no, I don't want to go to cruise. There's too many people. There's not enough space. So I figured I could try to get him going on a river cruise. Mm-hmm. So we tried to go down that path. And he said he didn't want to fly to Europe.
Okay, fair enough.
He wanted to stay someplace in the New York area because, you know, the island's about an hour away. And he didn't want to go to the Caribbean. So we're doing, you know, he's going through these different scenarios. And he said, why don't we try the Queen Mary 2? And at this point, I'm having heart palpitations because that's like the top-of-the-line cruise ship, in my opinion, of all time. So I said, sounds good. And at that point, we booked 2 months for this cruise that was going from New York up to Halifax, Canada, with a stop in Rhode Island and Boston. In Boston, we were there for July 4th, so that was pretty cool. So he was really he masterminded this one, and I, quote-unquote, went along for the ride.
So I have so many questions just because I've never sailed Queen Mary 2 before. So is it a misnomer to say that it's a stuck-up or stuffy line or everyone has to wear a tux at dinner?
I have to be honest with you, Doug. I saw a level of formality that I've never seen anywhere else on any ship. It's a British, obviously, it's a British mentality, British ship. So people really did. They dressed for dinner. We, on gala night, you saw more tuxedos than suits. Women are in gowns. I told my husband before we left, I said, listen, we're going to have to dress for this because I know that there's a different clientele. It is an older demographic. I mean, I'm in my late 50s, and I was, you know, the probably the median age was 65 or so. Mm-hmm. So you have a different class of cruiser. But we dressed, I wouldn't say stuffy, just more formal, because I think that's just the cultural British culture. So,
do you think if you didn't dress like that, you would have been looked at differently?
Well, actually, at 6 o'clock, if you were not dressed for dinner, the lounges in the dining rooms would not allow you to stay. They would go and tell you you need to go dress. We prefer you dress for dinner, and the dressing for dinner not on gala night was a nice slacks and a nice blouse for woman for mm-hmm. women, a suit coat for men. And on gala night, I brought a gown with me, and I fit right in. So it was a little bit, they did stick to their dress code, which was a little bit of, some people, I don't, you know, on all the cruises I've been on, I don't know that people dress as much. I mean, every once in a while you see on celebrities, somebody has a tuxedo on. You never see a gown anywhere. But Cunard, the Queen Mary II, you did see that.
Cunard is known for having, like, the class system. How does that actually play out when you're on board?
In our class, we were in a queen suite, mm-hmm. so we had our own dining room. It was the Queen's Grill restaurant. So we were just there. We didn't go to the Britannia. We didn't go to the Princess restaurant. There was three tiers. Mm-hmm. Most of the time, we didn't have a set time to go for dinner, whereas in the Britannia restaurant, you did. You had the 6 o'clock or the 8:30, so we had a little bit more of a free schedule. But, yeah, there's definitely you definitely see that class system in place when you're on board.
So you're normally a celebrity cruiser. What were your first impressions like walking onto this beautiful liner?
Oh, it was like a throwback in time, because we had, as soon as you walk on, I don't know if you're familiar with the uniforms mm-hmm. from Cunard, they're bright red, you know, the white glove service, we had double line of stewards greeting us, you know, shaking our hands, greeting us, so that was pretty impressive. And then the grand lobby, they remastered the ship in 2016, mm-hmm. so they took out a whole bunch of elevators. So now you just have this huge area that you walk into with this enormous flower arrangement in the middle of it. So it was very impressive walking onto this boat. I know celebrity hands you a glass of champagne, but this is kind of like you're looking at this huge atrium, just, wow, this amazing place.
You didn't get your champagne then?
No, well, we had the drink package, so okay. I got my champagne pretty well. Interestingly enough, it was in our suite when we got there.
Okay, that works too.
They had a champagne bucket ready for sail away for us.
So, how was your suite, and like, what did you think of it?
Oh, it was. Well, my husband's a big guy. He's 6'4".
Okay,
big guy. So he's like Sharon. We need space for me, because otherwise I'll go crazy here. And we got it was a little over 500 square feet. So it had king-size bed. It had actually a walk-in closet. It had a dressing area. It was the biggest stateroom I've ever been in. So he was happy with the size of the stateroom. And the balcony was probably, you had two lounge chairs, a table, and like this little storage bin, because I guess in the wintertime, or when they do in the transatlantic, they keep blankets and all this other stuff in there. So we didn't look. We just checked it out to look, see what do they have in here. So that was a really nice. The bathroom itself had the jacuzzi and the shower all together. Nice amount of space. There was plenty of room to store our stuff. Like I said, the walk-in closet was excellent, just putting all of our stuff. We didn't even need the other closet because there was one on the entrance mm-hmm. as soon as you came into the stateroom. Can I wax on about this stateroom?
No, I think it's awesome. Like, whenever they remastered this ship, did they put USB ports in the stateroom?
I knew you were going to ask that, Doug, and they did not.
Okay.
Because, believe me, it was like being back in the Art Deco age. There was very few sockets in the room. There was no USB ports, and the Wi-Fi was horrible.
Yeah.
It was horrendous. We ended up having to buy two packages of Wi-Fi minutes because you just couldn't sign on. You know, it was that out of this whole remastering, they dropped the ball on that one. They really needed to have to step that up.
When they remastered this ship, you mentioned that they took a couple of the elevators out, but what were some of the other like major changes that you may have read about before you sailed or you may have noticed on board?
Well, they did make I did some research, and they made there was one area called the Winter Garden,
mm-hmm.
which they said was pretty much dead space because nobody was ever in there. They made that the Corinthia Lounge, mm-hmm. and this room was beautiful. It was all cream-colored, blue, and lots of touches. Art Deco, very Art Deco, but so comfortable and so nice to sit in there and read. They had a little, like, tapas. It was like a Spanish tapas,
mm-hmm.
that were available throughout the day. They had wine. You could sit there, drink wine, have coffee. I saw a lot of people playing cards in there. Very quiet, very, very nice. I spent a lot of time in there.
That's where all the people were that were hogging your bandwidth, probably, for the Internet.
you're probably very, that's right.
The back of the stateroom for a second, does Cunard have tea kettles in their staterooms?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
In our room, we had tea kettle, we had the Keurig machine. They keep a whole set. Tea is huge on this boat. Afternoon tea is huge.
Mm.
They had a whole set of china and a whole, a whole box of different types of teas, so that if you wanted to make tea in your room, it was all there. So, yeah, they had that in the room. And they also had, our room had a bar set up where you had a cabinet where it had different glasses. You had wine glasses, you had brandy glasses, and they actually gave us, we were allowed to have two bottles of liquor or wine in the room that the Cunard paid for. It was there when we got to the stateroom. So I ordered a bottle of Grey Goose and another bottle of champagne, and they also stocked the refrigerator for us. So they asked me beforehand what would we want in the refrigerator. And the stateroom came with, I hate to say it, the stateroom came with a butler.
Okay.
So we're going to give a shout out to Lou because and his assistant Abigail. They were wonderful. Lou would come every morning, set our table for breakfast in the room with tablecloth and you know, silverware, all of that. And he was wonderful. He came, he gave us his cell phone, and we called him once for, I think, blanket or pillow or something like that. He was there like in a nanosecond. It was it was very nice, very nice.
Pretty much a butler is like your personal concierge then for your cruise?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, he put us in touch with the actual concierge if we needed to plan, you know, if we wanted to go on an excursion or make arrangements for something else. They had a little area that the Queen's Girl passengers can go to. They had more tea and coffee in there, and they always had somebody, I believe, from 8 to 10 o'clock. Whenever I went in there, there was somebody, you know, you could ask questions. But Lou, definitely, anything that had to do with the stateroom, he was right on it. He was excellent.
So you were talking about the main dining room experience, but is there a pub in there or a fish and chips type place?
Absolutely. It's called the Golden Lion Pub.
Mm-hmm.
And that was my go-to. If the lunches there were excellent. I had the fish and chips. My husband had the shepherd's pie, and they have like maybe 20, 30 beers that you could get, some on tap and some bottles. Really nice, really good. Very, very fun place. I have to say that was probably the most the most levity was in the pub, because you could play darts. They had a lot of sports going on. They had a piano player. It was a fun place to hang out. So we did that a few nights. We both did that a few nights.
A couple of years ago, when the Queen Mary 2 was docked in Brooklyn, I went on just for a few hours to take some photos and videos. Mm-hmm. I don't know. What did you think about their buffet in there?
Not my jam.
Yeah, okay, same here.
It was not. They did. I have to say, though, I'll give them some credit here. They had sushi, like maybe, I don't know. I went in there to just poke my head around, and they had sushi. I tried it. The sashimi, the tuna sashimi, was outstanding. It was excellent. It was excellent. So I would always grab a plate of that. But everything else was your standard stuff. What was good about it, though, they did have table seating. So if you sat down, one of these servers would come over and ask you what you wanted to drink. So that stopped a lot of that, you know, queuing up and elbowing in to get something to drink. So that was a nice thing that they did. But otherwise, yeah, didn't spend a lot of time there.
Yeah, the Golden Lion, was that free?
Yes, it was. Okay. It was. If we actually got, they had chicken curry on the menu, and I was like, we love our curries, so we got one of those also.
What's your favorite type of curry?
I love anything hot.
Okay.
I love spicy, so I can go for a green curry. This was very good. I felt that the spice level was nice. It wasn't that, like, watered down sort of American type curry. It had a nice little kick to it.
You kind of mentioned that the Golden Lions pub was social, but what were other the social spots around the ship where you could maybe catch some music or, you know, have an after dinner drink?
Well, with the girls' suite, you had a separate lounge, and this was, I'm just going to say this for the music fans out there, the classical music fans. Every night after dinner, they would have a concert. It's about 45 minutes, but they would have a chamber music, two violinists and a cellist that were excellent. They were from Romania. They were excellent. They had a harpist. I know I'm putting everybody to sleep, but it was really nicely done, very classy. It was very enjoyable. I like to go to one of the lounges called the Chart Room.
Okay.
And the Chart Room was based on Zodiac, so all the drinks were based on signs of the Zodiac. I'm a Virgo, and they served something that would add lots of ginger in it and lots of vodka in it. It was good. But that was a fun place. It was a nice place to hang out. They had jazz music there. A lot of comfortable places to sit. Big, long, dark bar, dark wood bar. Very nice to hang out in there. The disco is called G32. We went there one night after all festivities, you know, the bar hopping, et cetera. It was very big. There were two levels, but there were hardly anybody in there. And the band that was there, there was a live band in there. They were really good. But for whatever reason, there weren't a lot of people in there. So I don't know if everybody that's you know, different demographic or, you know, it's kind of hard to stay in a club when nobody's there. So we didn't spend a lot of time in there.
Not a late night crowd, then, it sounds like.
No, definitely not a late night crowd.
The pool on the ship is in the back of the ship, right?
Yes.
I mean, you were sailing in July, so I'm sure it was well used back there.
Yes, there were people in it. There were a couple hot tubs. It's not like on a Caribbean cruise where you got a lot of families running around. And in fact, there were very few children on this cruise. I saw some teenagers. I saw younger kids with grandparents, like, you know, extended family type, but not a lot of kids are going to be jumping in and out of the pool. None of the pool game things that would go on in different cruise ships. But there was plenty of space for people to spread out, a lot of chairs. There was a terrace pool bar at the side. Never had a problem getting a drink of any sort at any of the bars, actually. There was a lot of space, a lot of room.
By the pool there's the veranda restaurant. Is that part of, like, the class system, or can anyone roll in there?
Well, that's a specialty restaurant.
Okay.
So it comes with a cover charge. And we did go there on gala night. the second night that we were on board. They have restaurant, it's a steakhouse. So you could pick, the waiter comes over and he shows you all this steak. Now, I don't eat meat, so this was kind of like, you know, grossing me out a little bit, but it was interesting to see. They brought the steaks over to my husband. He picked out his steak. And then they came over again with a box. They opened the box. It's all different types of knives. So you could choose what kind of knife you were going to use to cut your steak. And one of the items that we did order was a seafood platter. Mm-hmm. And when the platter came, it was very large. It was in fact, the couple next to us wanted to take a picture of it because it was so large. He had two 1-pound lobsters, lots of crab legs, lots of mussels, lots of shrimp. And we had that. We decided after that, you know, we'll just go on to the entree. We don't need anything else other than that. A really nice, really pretty place. Dress code, as always. The wine steward they had there was really good. I love my champagne, so we discussed champagnes back and forth. So he was, I forget his name, but he was very personable, very knowledgeable. And he actually showed up later on in the Queensville restaurant because I guess we chatted him up. I chatted him up a little bit, so he came to visit our table. But it was a nice upcharge. I believe it's like $40, $39, mm-hmm. $40. It's definitely worth the experience.
Yeah, if you're getting two big 1-pound lobsters like that, that's probably worth the $40 alone there. I mean, was the seafood good on? I mean, good for being served on a cruise ship?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh yes. Oh yes. Every meal we had, my husband's a tough cookie. He's a tough one. You know, he grew up on the island. He spent lots of time. He works in New York, so he's used to good restaurants. This is absolutely, the food was outstanding. It was excellent.
Did you go to the gym or the spa at all?
The gym was a daily because I run. I lift weights. I do all that good stuff. So if I don't go to the gym once a day, then I kind of go crazy. So we were in the gym a lot. They probably could use a couple more bikes and treadmills because it seemed like you had to pick your time to go in there. They definitely had a lot of different machines. You just had to time it right. The spa, the huge disappointment of my cruise, the spa after the first day was closed for, I guess they had a broken pipe or something. When I took the tour, they had all the usual, you know, the sauna, the hot tubs, the massages. They had a ice fountain with like a snow cone machine, just had ice coming out of it. So what you do, you go into the sauna, you get all steamed up, then you come out and take handfuls of ice and do that, rub the ice on you, and then take a shower. I was like, oh, I can't wait to do that. Well, second day into the cruise, the spa is closed for the rest of the cruise, so I'll have to go back someday.
Yeah. Man, the wheels fell off early this cruise.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Wow. It's like, really? You got to be kidding me.
It sounds like you had a pretty cool itinerary kind of just dotting along the Northeast there. So you started in New York, and then what was your first port of call?
We went to Halifax first.
Okay.
Halifax, you know, was where all the Titanic passengers that didn't survive the ship sinking, that's where they buried most of them. So I've gone to the cemetery myself on a different cruise, on a different trip. My husband wasn't that interested. I mean, he wasn't interested in seeing that. So we went to the Citadel instead of going there, which was really cool because they at summertime they had all the students there, and apparently we're there for the drumming and the piping students. Mm-hmm. So they had all these young teenagers marching around in their kilts with bagpipes and drums, and every once in a while they would shoot guns for whatever reason. And it was very entertaining. It was very nice. So we did that in Halifax, and we went back to the ship. So we didn't really go on any excursion while we were there.
Samuel Cunard is from Halifax, I believe.
Yes, he was. Yes, he was. They had a huge statue of him. Not a lot of picture taking this cruise, Doug, I have to tell you. I usually have, you know, I'm taking pictures of my food. I'm usually doing all that. That I didn't do on this cruise. I didn't see anybody else doing that, so I felt, you know.
It's also different when you're traveling with someone as well. Like, I travel solo a lot, too. And I'm taking a picture, like, of everything when I'm traveling solo. But traveling together, I kind of tend not to take as many photos. I still take photos, but not as many.
That's quite true. Because when I'm by myself, I don't really care. I'm arranging the silverware, you know. I'm taking pictures of my drinks, that type of thing. But that's true.
I'm going up to Halifax in September, so I'll have to check out the Citadel. I've never have done that before. Maybe is it a walk from the ship, or do you have to take a like a bus or a tour?
No, We took an Uber, I believe.
Okay.
It wasn't very far at all. Okay. It wasn't very, very far at all.
And then after Halifax, where did you go?
Then we sailed to Boston on July 4th.
Nice.
So we decided I was supposed to go on a whale watch that morning that was canceled, which I was disappointed about. But anyways, we went to Boston to do the Freedom Trail. And we started at the, have you ever done the Freedom Trail before?
we tried to do it at night one time. And we got lost, so no, we didn't finish it. We started it, though.
That's hysterical. Yeah, probably not the best time to do the Freedom Trail, because they hit the little bricks on the the sidewalk.
Exactly.
So you probably got to Faneuil Hall and gave up from that point on.
Yeah, I went to Cheers and called it a night.
There you go. No, we went from the beginning, from the Boston Common all the way to the Constitution, and it was pretty hot. Actually, it was like 90. When we did that walk, but it was very interesting. I've only done different pieces of it. I never went from the beginning to the end, so that was nice. And there was a lot of stuff going on for the 4th of July. A lot of you know, people were very festive.
How long did it take you from start to finish?
Well, we stopped at a pub for a little while. Let's see, probably like 2 hours altogether. I have to say probably more than that, because we did stop and different, you know, they had the old church. You went in there and started to read all the history. So there were a lot of stuff. And plus, you know, some of them had air conditioning, so we popped ourselves in there so we wouldn't, you know, sweat to death. And then we went to Rhode Island. That morning was very foggy, but I was able to get on the excursion that I had booked on a 80-foot sailboat. So we were able to sail around the harbor. And I took some pictures of the ship, and it was a nice morning. Found out later that most of the excursions had been canceled for that afternoon because the visibility was so bad. They actually stopped the launch for a while, because I was stranded in Newport for a little while because the launch they would not do the launches while it was while they felt it wasn't safe. So I have a feeling they just let me off to do my excursion before they really realized that the fog was never going to clear. My husband that day, for whatever reason, he was not feeling well. It was probably all that good food that we were eating. So he stayed. He spent a lot of time on the balcony because he brought all his, he likes to draw, he likes to paint. He brought all those materials with him, and he would just sit out there and do that, and happy as can be. So a lot of the times I'm saying, I did this, I did that. I don't have any problem going running around a cruise ship by myself. So I wanted to check a lot of things out.
This was a 7-night cruise?
A 7-night cruise, yep.
How many sea days were there?
There were 3 sea days.
As far as crowds and congestion around the ship on the sea days, how was that?
Not bad at all, other than the King's Court buffet, like lunchtime, like the usual hours, not bad at all. There were so many different places. They had a planetarium. They had a 8,000-volume library. You know, there were classes. There was a fencing class that I tried to sign up for. That would have been pretty cool. But, no, there was a lot of different areas people could be in, and it was very well spread out. So, yeah, never a problem.
How was the planetarium?
That was very cool. Have you ever been to one of those before?
When I was a kid, we had, I think we still have one here in Jacksonville, but I've never been on one on a ship before.
Yeah, it was very cool. It was like you got in there, all the lights go out, you're leaning back and you just see this huge, there's just the dome of, I guess the show, or whatever you call it, was the different galaxies that are out there. So you had all these special effects going around. It wasn't that long. It was maybe 20 minutes, but it was a very cool space to see all that. And they actually, it wasn't just the planetarium. They also showed movies in there, and they had lectures in there. And lectures are huge. Education is huge, huge on Cunard, because they, transatlantic voyages, you don't have a lot going on because you don't have any ports. So they always try to have lectures, movies, classes. We saw a couple of lectures while we were there. They had one historian that talked about the Three Queens. That was the title of it. Mm-hmm. So this gentleman talked about the Queen Mary, the Queen Elizabeth, and Queen Victoria, and also about the QM2, which it sounded like he was born on the ship. He knew so much about it.
So yeah. You make your way back to Brooklyn. How was your debarkation process getting off of her?
Really good. Really, really smooth, really easy. We were blessed with the priority disembark, so we got out of the ship. Off the ship probably took maybe 15 minutes to be in the taxi on the way home, so it was like seamless getting off the boat.
Was this your husband's first cruise ever?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
And so will he return?
Yes, he did.
Awesome.
He said, why don't we do a transatlantic someday?
Okay.
So I'm trying to keep it on the down low, my excitement. I was like, oh, yeah, that sounds like a great idea. So yeah. I can see that in my future, our future. Now, you went to the hotel in Long Beach, didn't you?
That was so cool. Yeah, we got off of Norwegian Joy, and we hopped a cab from the San Pedro terminal down to Long Beach. And our plan was just to stay there and kind of tool around Long Beach, but we got on the ship, and they offer all these tours, and if you're staying on the ship itself, you get the tours for half price, so you're only paying $10 a tour. So we wound up doing every single tour they offered, and it had us scheduled for the rest of the day and then all the way until we left at noon to fly out of LAX. So it was just, talk about stepping back in time. Walk on that ship.
Absolutely. Absolutely. See, that's what I want to do next. I have a business trip out in Seattle. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking of taking a couple days just to get onto that boat, or at some point get onto that boat to see it. Yeah, that's another thing. Throughout this whole ship, there were pictures of different celebrities traveling, pictures from the 30s, the 40s. Just really a lot of history up on the walls. You just walk around and see all these different things to stand and read. It was very cool. Very, very interesting, I guess, background of all these boats.
Well, do you have any, like, if you were to give someone a couple of first-time tips for transitioning from a cruise line, like from, you know, say I'm used to sailing Celebrity and now we're doing Cunard on the QM2, any tips to offer?
Definitely bring some nice clothes. Bring some, you know, bring a suit jacket for men. I wore a lot of dresses. People dress up, and it's fun to dress up on this boat. It really was. It was nice to see everybody looking very glamorous and very, very old, glamorous of the 50s and 60s, how you would picture being on a cruise ship. And just enjoy walking around, get a little history in there, and know that it's not like any other type of cruise you're going to be on. Originally, this was an ocean liner, so it has a different look and feel, but really, really enjoyable trip of a lifetime.
The internet is back to those liner days as well, it sounds like.
Absolutely. Absolutely. If I give one recommendation for Cunard to you know, they got to up their game with this. Get into the current times here, guys.
Well, Sharon, thank you so much. This definitely opened my eyes, because over the past few years of doing this show, I can count on one hand how many Cunard interviews we've done. And this is a good perspective, being that you have sailed a lot on Celebrity and kind of comparing and contrasting against Cunard. I think it opened a lot of our eyes. Thank you so much for being on the show, and have a good evening. And thank you so much for listening. We'll talk to you on Thursday.
Today's show is brought to you by Audible.com.
Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/cruise. Choose from over 150,000 titles delivered straight to your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or tablet at audibletrial.com/cruise.
Before Shopify, were you wondering, where are my sales at? Now you're selling with Shopify, the global commerce platform supercharging your selling. You have no problem selling online, in person, on social media, and beyond. Gary, easy on the cha-ching.
Oh, sorry, but my Shopify sales are through the roof.
Start selling with Shopify today and discover how millions of businesses around the world use Shopify to ignite their selling. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/listen. Shopify.com/listen.